Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Aleph and Shoftim. Here we go. Vayisifu Bnei Yisrael Losses Rabbi Hashem V'Yinem Biyaplishim Arboim Shana. Okay, so Bnei Yisrael continued to do evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the usual, right? The Shoftet is gone. After they had finished with Yiftach, with Yar, etc., everybody else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them in the hands of the Plishim for 40 years. That was a long time. And for 40 years altogether. The good thing was, is that these people weren't the worst ones in the world, right? But they were always there. The Plishtim were never, their land was never really taken over when Bnei Yisrael took over Eretz Canaan. When they took over Eretz Canaan, they defeated most of the nations, but the Plishtim were always in their place. The last time we saw them, they fought against Shamgar ben Anos, but they weren't the primary enemies of the people. Shamgar ben Anos just fought a battle against them and killed a bunch of them with, you know, with his the yoke, the ox yoke that was over there. And anyway, right, it seems like the Plishtim were not the craziest people to get out to, but here's what happened. Vayish echod mi tzara. There was a man from Tzara, Mishpachas Aviv, who from the family of Dan. Shmo Noach, his name was Manoach, v'ishto akar v'lo yolada. His wife was barren. She did not give birth. Okay, so the first thing is that Manoach was definitely from Dan. His wife maybe wasn't from Dan. She may have been from Yehuda. Now, normally, people did not intermarry like that, intertribal marriages.
Especially from Yehuda.
Exactly. From Yehuda itself, they didn't get involved. But it did happen. This might be a really good example. Now, we know that Manoach was an Amaretz. We spoke about that already. That's one of the reasons why Boaz was punished really badly, because he didn't treat Manoach the way he should have. But he was an Ish. Whenever you see the word Ish before you see a name, Ish Ushmo Manoach, that means that the man was a tzaddik, which means Manoach may not have been a massive Talmid Chacham, but he was a great person. He was a good person. And therefore, even though he couldn't do everything when it came to learning itself, he may have been an Am Haaretz, but he was still a tzaddik. Exactly. Ish Yehudi. Ushmo Mordechai. Just like that, it's tzaddik. So that's a Gemara in Erev and Yud Chasim Abayis. Whenever it says Ish and then Shmo, whatever it is, the guy's a tzaddik. And this is a great example of that. So Manoach, he may not have been the best. And Dan was not the greatest of the Shvatim. Nonetheless, he was great. According to the Medrash, he was one of the 31 most righteous people in his generation. That's how great Manoach was, even though he wasn't a massive Talmid Chacham. That's the crazy part. What were you going to say?
I know it's probably not that big of a deal, but it says v'ishto akar, so why does it reinforce
belief? Right. So first of all, yeah, if you're akara and you give birth, it's really not that bad to be an akara, right? Akara v'lo yalada is weird. So the pshat is like this: his wife was an akara, meaning lo yalada. She wasn't just an akara. She could not give birth. It was impossible for her to give birth. She was so barren that there was no womb there in the first place. And that's what it means, akara v'lo yolada. Not that she was akara and she could daven and everything would have been fine. There was no physical way for her to have a baby. The kelim were missing. And that's what it means, akara v'lo yolada, why it has to mention it that way. So what happened? Pasuk Gimel. Vayera malach Hashem al-ish. And malach of Hashem appeared to that woman. And he said to her, hina no at akara v'lo yolada. V'arisu yolada bein. Behold, right now, you are barren. You are not able to give birth to any children. But you are going to become pregnant. And you will conceive a child. You are going to end up having a child over here. Now, the reason why the Malach appeared before Tzlal Ponit, that's the wife of Manoach, and not to Manoach himself, is because she was a greater tzedekus than he was. She was a great, great woman. Manoach, unfortunately, was not on that level, but she was an unbelievable woman. That's number one. Number two, notice the wording of the Malach. Hine at akara v'lo yoladet. Right? You're barren, it's impossible for you to give birth. V'haris v'ilat abein. But now you're pregnant, you gave birth to a child. The Christians learn the concept of immaculate conception from right here. They say the Malach made her pregnant. This isn't Manoach's kid. This is a child created by the Malach itself. And that's what it means. V'haris, you're pregnant right now. You just became pregnant. How do you become pregnant right then? So there are two answers that are given in Chazal to knock this out. Okay, one answer is V'haris. It's that there was, to be graphic, but unfortunately sometimes you need that, there was Zera already inside Tzlal Ponit. It just hadn't taken effect on the egg of the woman. At this moment, it happened. Meaning the Malach said, right now, the Zera took place, and now you're pregnant.
We just said, v'lo yolada, eliminates that
as
option.
Of right now. Right now, it was impossible. But now, it is possible. I'm making it possible. Somehow, there's an egg inside your system. And now there's an egg there, and there's still Zera there. The Zera caused the egg to become impregnated. You know what I'm saying? It was a miracle that the egg was born, but not that she became conceived from the Malach. She conceived from Shem, from Manoach. Manoach was the father of the child. That's number one. Number two, Vaharis doesn't mean you're pregnant now. Vaharis means you will become pregnant. Now, the wording is still, it sounds like it's past tense. Vaharis or present tense. Vaharis, v'yelad is bein. You just gave birth to a child. But that's the shot behind it. It's not saying that you are pregnant right now. You will become pregnant. That's
it. Did the Malachim go to Sarah first or Avram?
To Avram, you know.
And then they went to
Sarah. Right, and then they told Sarah. Well, they said, yeah, I mean, they said, Aye Sarah Ishtacha, right? And then they told her, where is she? Yeah, but that's that. But they said it to Avram Vino himself. Pasuk Dalet, that's how you shomrina v'al tishti yayin. You got to be very careful. You're not allowed to drink any wine, v'shechor, or beer. Al tokli kol tummy. You're not allowed to eat anything tummy. Kinochor rada v'ilad is bane, because look, you're pregnant. You're going to give birth to a child. Moral yala rosha, do not put a razor on top of his head. Kinizira lukimiya narmina beten, because this child is going to be a nazir from the womb, who yacholoshias swami at pelishim, and he will begin to save Bnei Yisrael from the Plishim itself. Now, this is a brand new Chiddush, a huge Chiddush. The Pshat is like this. The Bereishis Rabbah, in Medrash Rabbah, it says that Bnei Yisrael did not deserve to be saved. Bnei Yisrael were horrible at this point, and it was really, really bad for all the people in Klal Yisrael. So why did they get saved? Because Shimshon was willing to save them. They shouldn't have gotten anything. If it was in their schus, everything would be gone. But because Shimshon was there, and Shimshon was such a tzaddik, he was an awesome person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, if Shimshon's willing to do it, he can do it on his own. But in order to do it on his own, he has to do it in a way where the Plishim don't fight Bnei Yisrael. If the Plishim fight Bnei Yisrael, they'll win. So I can't let them fight Bnei Yisrael. So Shimshon has to look like he has nothing to do with Klal Yisrael. He has nothing to do with them. He has to look like he's on his own, as if there's nothing else there. So he said, he's going to have to join the Plishim nation. But how do you have a Jew, even on the level of Shimshon, that can join the Plishim nation and not be affected by them? Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need him to become a Nazir. He needs to be a person who's separated from wine, so he doesn't get drunk and he doesn't lose his mind. He needs to know you got to stay away from Tumah. That'll keep him separate from all the things that are out there. And he needs to be a person, right, who understands, I guess, that his hair is sacrosanct, that he has something that's special that he does for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only then will a person be able to stay in the situation that he is over there. Again, he's hanging out with Plishti women. We can't have him drink wine. And that makes a ton of sense. But that's why. So a brand new Chiddush was made. A Nazir Shimshon, which had never existed before. A Nazir Shimshon, where you're a Nazir from the womb. And the halacha is this. You never shave your head. A Nazir shaves his head every 30 days. A Nazir Olam every year, whenever his hair becomes really heavy. Nazir Shimshon, never. Never shaves his head. Never cuts his hair whatsoever. That is a Nazir Shimshon. Everything else is there. Some say he can become Tamei. A Nazir Olam can't become Tamei, but a Nazir Shimshon could become Tamei. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But regardless, this is the idea behind it. Over here also, if you notice what it says, the wording in the Pasuk is, Kinizir Elokim Yanar. He's going to be a Nazir of God. That's not a regular wording. You're not normally a Nazir of Hashem. This is going to be a different type of Nazir, or something that's going to be a little bit different to overcome his inclination, his Yetzirah, when it came down right over there. Okay, that is that. Mora is a really weird word also. Mora means a razor itself. Some say it comes from the word Yara, which means to throw. It threw the hair off of his head itself. Number two, it refers to fear. Fear will not come upon his head, right? There will be no fear on him whatsoever. Right, but that's the idea behind it and why it's going to be over there. Now, the Plishtim were well known for the exact opposite of abstinence. These are people that did whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. They were the word Plishti comes from the word mefulish. Have you ever heard of a mavoi? A mavoi in Chazal? It refers to an alleyway, right? An alleyway that goes from one place to the other, from chatzur to chatzur to chatzur. It's like an alleyway. There's two types of mavois. There's a mavoi sasum, where it's open on one side of the street, closed on the other. And a mavoi mefulish, which means open on one side, open on the other side. It's open on both sides to two rishus rabbims. The Plishtim were in between Canaan and Mitzrayim. And they were a mavoi mefulish. That's why they're called the Plishtim. They were open to the Tumah and the practices of Canaan. They were open to the Tumah and the practices of Mitzrayim. They had both. Whatever the Mitzrayim had, whatever the Canaanim had, they were willing to do over here. They were into everything. They were open to anything. They could do anything. They were willing to eat or drink or do whatever it was. And because of that, they stood for the exact opposite of what Shimshon stood for. Shimshon hated them, and they hated Shimshon. Shimshon's abstinence. He won't drink. He won't eat. He won't do stuff like that. He's a holy person from his, you know, a man of God. He could never normally mix in with the Plishtim, but that's why it worked. That's why it worked, because the Plishtim didn't accept him when it came down to stuff like this. Okay, we're going to talk about some of the extremes that he had over here, but that's that. The last part that we're going to talk about is, at the end of the pasuk, it says, "V'u yachol lo shia as Yisrael mi'a Plishtim." He's going to begin to save the Jews from the Plishtim himself. So Yachol does mean begin. Who Yachol Loshia, he is strong enough to save the Jews from the Plishtim. Some say it's Chal, he's going to violate the Bris against the Plishtim themselves. The Plishtim and the Jews had kind of a deal with each other, they wouldn't hurt each other. He's going to violate that agreement and something's going to go wrong at some point. Pasuk Vav, Vatavo Isha, Vatomer Isha. The woman came and said to her husband, Lamor, Isha Lakim Ba'ilai, a man of God came to me, Areu Kamariel Malach Elokim, and he looked like an angel. Noira Ma'od, he looked awesome. Veloshil Tiyu Emi Zehu, I never asked him where he was from. Veshmolo Igili, he didn't tell me his name either. So Salapuni says, I was walking in the field and I saw this, and she assumed it was a Navi. He said, what Navi? Was it Pinchas? She said, I don't know, it could have been Pinchas. I never asked, I never found out. Right? It was too awesome for me. I couldn't ask anything whatsoever. Can't drink wine, can't eat any tumah, because this child was going to be a nazir from his stomach all the way until the day of his death. She said, I had no way to speak. I couldn't. I was so shocked from right over here. Now, there's a couple things that are interesting over here. Number one, you notice that she didn't say exactly what the malach said. She added, ad yom moso. Until the day of his death. The Malach never said that. Because the truth is, she thought he's going to be a Nazir Hashem until the day of his death. But he wasn't. Why wasn't he? Because he cut his hair before he died.
Well, someone else
cut it. Somebody else cut it. But nonetheless, he was not a Nazir Elohim. So the Malach was saying he'll be a Nazir Elohim. But he didn't say Ad Yom Moso because he knew it wasn't going to happen. But the woman, Tzalponit, she didn't know that. Therefore, she said it out loud. Number two, right? Okay, let's not worry about that. Number two, she did not say any mention of the prohibition of cutting hair. She said, Tokli kol tuma, al tishti yayin, but she didn't say anything about cutting the hair. It could be that he understood that, right? It could be that he absolutely understood that. Maybe she also kind of had Ruach HaKodesh. She didn't want to say, don't cut his hair till the day of his death, because the truth is, he did cut his hair to the day of his death, and she ended up knowing that somehow. Who knows what ended up happening over here? Also, the reason why she didn't mention the hair is really obvious. If the Plishtim found out about that, right, that would be the worst thing for Shimshon. Because if he's supposed to fight against the Plishtim, and they knew that his power was in his hair, right, that would be the worst thing. She never said a thing about the hair. She never said one thing whatsoever. She kept it a secret, even from her husband. She didn't tell anybody whatsoever when it came down to that. But that's what she said. So Menoach davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why? V'yomar bi'adonai. Please, my master, please, Hashem, Isha Elokim, Asher Shalachta, Yavona Odeilenu, let that man of God come to us. We are Reinam Anasel and Arayulad. Tell us what we're supposed to do with this child who's going to be born. What are we supposed to do with him? Is this a normal thing? Are we going to have everything good here? What's going to happen? Vayishma Elokim b'kol Manoach. So God listened to the voice of Manoach. Vayovo Malach Elokim Oda Leisha. And the Malach came to the woman again. V'yoshev Basar, she was sitting in the field. Manoach Isha Enima. Manoach, her husband, wasn't with her. Now, obviously, that means Manoach did not deserve the Malach to come to him. It was only Tzalponit who deserved it, not Manoach himself.
He was on a high enough level, though, to have
to be able to get it, yeah, at the end of the day. And she did it. We said she was a tzaddik, but nonetheless, seeing a Malach is on a higher level.
Is there an issue with her being alone and a Malach coming to the Malach of Hashem?
There is no issue of Yichud by a Malach. If it was a Navi, then it could be, but it is in a field. Remember, Tomer Devorah, Devorah did that in the field so that she wouldn't have to worry about Yichud. So it's likely that was still okay. But Tamara Isha Vatar Vategila Isha. So the woman quickly, she ran and went to tell her husband, Vatomer Lavini Nira Eli Isha Shababa Yomelai. The guy has come to me. He's appeared to me, right? The guy has appeared to me. Let's go. And that's that. Now, why did Manoach want the Malach to appear to him? So some say he wanted the kavod. He wanted to be able to say, I saw a Malach, which is awesome. Can you blame him for that? Is there anybody who would say, like, oh, come on, Manoach? Like, anybody wants that to happen. That's kind of cool, number one. Some say, he wanted information, right? He actually wanted information to find out, okay, what are we supposed to do over here? Are we supposed to do anything or not? Is he going to be different? Like, he didn't know. He's never heard of a Nazir Shimshon before. So he said, what really is the halacha behind this guy? And he really wanted the information itself, right? He had absolutely no idea. Some say, and this is where Schwab says, an unbelievable answer. He says, it's a very, very different line, right? Because this is look at what happens over here. The Malach comes over to the field, and Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'yakam v'yelech Manoach achar Yishto. Sorry, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Gimel Yud Aleph and Shoftim. V'yakam v'yelech Manoach achar Yishto. Manoach went after his wife. First of all, by the way, that already shows his amiratus. A man should always walk in front of a woman instead of behind a woman. because walking behind a woman means you're looking at a part of a woman, even by your own wife, a part of the woman that you shouldn't be looking at. So always go there. Now, granted, but no, this is Manoach walking behind his wife, so the fact that he said it that way. The fact that the Pasuk said it that way shows that it was improper. It could very well be that Manoach is actually in front of, was whatever, he meant to walk in front of his wife, but it says it improperly.
She had to go and get him.
And so he walks together.
Right, but she's like, hey, come on, let's go.
They're not Hasidim. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have to be a block away from each other. It didn't have to be that way. But it happened to be, so he did walk behind his wife. It's unlike what happened over there. They came to the man. Are you the man that you spoke to the woman? Right? Did you speak to that woman? Vayomer Ani. And he said, I am. That's what the Malach said. Vayomer Manoach, Ata Yavod Varacha, Maya Mishpat Anar Maseyu. So now tell me what you think. What's going to be? What's going to be for the Mishpat and Aron Maaseihu? What am I supposed to do with everything over here? What am I supposed to have? Number Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer Malach Hashem Lamanoach, Mikol Hashemarti Al Isha Tishamer. Everything I told the woman, just do that. Remember what I told the woman? Yeah, good. Mikol Sheyitzmi Gefen Ayayin, Lo Socha. Anything that comes from grapes, don't eat. Yayin V'Sheikh Ral Teish, don't drink wine, don't drink any intoxicating drinks. V'chol Tuma Lo Tochal, don't eat any Tuma either. Kosher Tzia, Tishamer. Whatever I told the woman, be careful from. Tishmar, I'm sorry. You notice? Again, did he say anything about the hair?
No.
Not one word. Again, they want to keep it secret. They don't trust Manoach. They don't trust Manoach. Rav Schwab says that the problem that Manoach had was, he said, I don't understand. Chinuch-wise, none of this makes any sense. How in the world am I supposed to go around and I'm supposed to still tell my kid, I'm like drinking wine. My son's like, oh, I really want that wine, Dad. What does that taste like? And you're like, no, the Malach told me you can't have it. Does that make any sense to you? How in the world is that good chinuch? No, daddy can do X, but you cannot. That's horrible chinuch. How in the world am I supposed to do this? That's Rav Schwab. That was his question. He said, you're telling my wife not to eat any tumah, not to drink any grape, not to drink any water. What am I supposed to do? Said the Malach, everything that I told the woman to do, you have to do as well. You want proper chinuch? That's what you got to do. You got to keep it as well. So that you're not drinking wine anymore. You're not going to be able to be tameh anymore. You're not going to be involved in stuff like that. As long as you're raising the child, even while you're raising him, until the child is, 13 years old. You got to keep everything that I told the child to do. You have to be this way entirely the entire time as well. That's the shot behind it. Now, again, it could be that this happened immediately, that it happened mamish on the exact same day, that it was so immediate that it was like literally on that day, bayom, on that day. I thought you were... But that's the cool part behind it. It's cool to be able to go through this way, and that's that. This is the cool part about Sloponis. You just said it before. She was in the field, right? You know why she went to the field? Because as soon as Manoach said, oh, I want the Malach to come back, and davened, Sloponis said, okay, he's going to appear today. She went straight to the field, to the same place that she was before, for the Malach to appear to her again. And when it happened, she ran back and said, it just happened. And Manoach said, I can just finish my Shemona Esrei. That's how quick it was. It happened so quickly that it all happened just like that, and it was all right there. But an unbelievable Rav Schwab. So the Malach of Hashem, so Manoach turned to the Malach of Hashem and said, can we keep you here? We'll make a gedizim in front of you. We'll make a goat, right? A goat is a meal. So again, he thinks that it's a regular human being, right? There's a regular human being in front of him. So he thinks, a regular human being, let's make a meal for this Navi, right? We should make a meal for him. He said, we should make you a kid. First of all, has anybody here ever had goat meat? Yeah, goat meat's horrible, but it is the cheapest of meats.
Really rough.
Cheapest of meats. So it's likely Manoach was a very, very poor person. This is what he could afford. So he could afford to kill, to shecht a kid, right? And to be able to, not literally, that's more yiftach, and go through it. Yes, likely that's what happened over here. Vayomer Malach Hashem Manoach, and Malach of Hashem said to Manoach, Tatsreini Lo'ocha V'lach Mecha. If you keep me, I'm not going to eat your bread. But if you want to bring a korban ola to Hashem, you can do so. Manoach had no idea it was a malach of Hashem. He thought it was a human being. But there's more to it than just that. A navi is allowed to tell you something, an avera, that you can break just for that moment. You can't do it forever, and it can't be avodah zarah. But if a malach tells you, you can do X, don't worry, go ahead and do it, you're allowed to go ahead and do it. Eliyahu Navi did that with Har Carmel. He brought a korban outside of the base of Mikdash, and he was allowed to do it because it was one time, just then. And if you would go up to Eliyahu Navi and say, is it mutter to bring a korban outside the base of Mikdash? No, it's Usher Gummer. You're Chayiv Kares for that. So why are you doing it? Because I got a tzivui from Hashem to do it once, and I'm going to do it once. Can I do it after that? No, absolutely not. So right over here, the Malach of Hashem told Manoach, bring a korban outside of the Mishkan. It's Usher. That is Usher Midiraisa, and not only Usher Midiraisa, you're Chayiv Kares for doing this. Chayiv Kares. But the Malach of Hashem told him to do it. Now, here's the problem. He thinks that the Malach is a Navi. If a Navi tells you to do something, you can listen. But it's really a Malach. we hold lo bashamayim hi. A malach can't paskin for you. So when Manoach was told this, he thought it was a regular human being who's telling him to do it, and he thought it was mutter. But in fact, it was a malach, which is why his reaction is so extreme later on. There's a difference. Now, here's the kasha.
But Navi said, you can still do it.
Navi, but he's not a Navi, he's a malach.
But he thought he was a Navi.
Agreed, but when he finds out that it's a malach, he's like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? I'm chayiv kares. Just bought a korban.
But I thought you said if a malach does it, it's okay also.
No. That's the problem. The problem is that a malach can't tell you to do something like that. It's a bas kol. It's like mina shemayim. That doesn't work. So this is a real, real problem over here. I will ask you a question. Manoach's malach over here said, I'm not going to eat your bread. Why not? Avram Avinu's malachim ate bread. And if they didn't really eat bread, they faked it, why couldn't Manoach's malach eat bread? Why couldn't he fake it? So right there, that's very, very strange. The pshat is that Avram Avinu was such a machnis oreach. He brought in guests to his house all the time. Therefore, when he offered food to the malachim, the malachim said, oh, well, you're the type of guy that does this, so he did it. Manoach never offered food to any other person. He was very, very poor. He never had anything whatsoever to be able to give to others. So when the malach heard him say, I want to feed you, the malach said, no, I don't need to. You're not a machnis oreach. You're not like Avram Avinu. And therefore, it's different. I'm not going to do
it. Why not? Why can't he have a different? He can't change his way just that one time.
That's exactly it. If you're a person who always gives food to guests, then the malach is not going to change it. They say, okay, you always give food to guests, I'll eat it. But Manoach didn't do that. So the malach didn't want to change his thing just because you want to change your thing. Yeah, the malach doesn't eat.
Yeah, but the avos, they changed their ways of doing things in order to do stuff. Like, for instance, Yaakov was the meanest.
That's just his milos. Again, I understand that. But that does, again, the reason why he ate by Avram Avinu is because Avram Avinu did this to everybody. So the malach didn't want to change the minig hamakom. So the malach ate by Avram just like he did for everybody. Here, Manoach wants to change his minig. Said the malach, don't change the minig on account of me. Right? You normally don't feed people. So I don't want to eat and change my minig because you want to change your minig. That I don't want to do. I don't see no point to that.
It's
yeah.
It's interesting. Manoach should have already known. His wife said, "Umare kamare malach."
He looked like a malach, but she even indicated that it was a guy.
Yeah, but I mean, if she's on the higher level and she's telling
him, yeah, that's true. If she should have known.
How about when he
would have known
everything
else?
If he's
well,
so
not
good.
Yet. That hasn't happened yet.
Right, but if
hold on, that hasn't happened. Yom Rabbanu Ocham Malach Hashem Mishemecha. Who is your name? Isn't that weird wording? It's not Mashemecha. Mishemecha. Who is your name? Isn't that strange? So some Chazal say, there is a Chassam Sofer, I believe, that says, he was asking, what name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu do you use? What's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So who is the name? Who is the shame of Hashem that you use over here? Otherwise, it's a very strange wording. Ki avo dvorcha, when your word comes, we want to thank you. V'chibanucha, will honor you in such a way. Right? That's the idea behind it. That's the idea of Yom Lo Malach Hashem, Lo Mazetishalish Mi. Why should you ask for my name? As Yaakov Avinu's Malach said to him, V'upeli. It's a wonder over here, okay? So again, who is your name is more like, it's almost like a double lashon. Miata uma shemecha. You get it? Mi shemecha is like a shortened version. Maybe that was the way that they talked at the time itself. Maybe it wanted something like that. Now the question is, what's Wupeli? Was that the Malach's actual name? Did the Malach actually have a name? By the way, it's Peli. Nice to meet you. Was that the actual name? Or was it Hupeli that the name is so far out of it, there's no way you can ask for it. There's nothing you're going to get out of it. It's completely out there. It's concealed. It's hidden. And there's nothing that's going to be over there. Some say it's even more than just that. Hupeli is the following. The word Pela is the word used by Nazir in Parshas Naso. The Hafla, there's like a word that's used when it comes to Nazirs. And it's Hafla. And that's why his name is Peli, because he made the kid a Nazir. That's the idea behind it. Okay. Do malachim have permanent names? Probably not. There's a machlokas on whether or not they have permanent names. Is there really a malach named Michael? Or is every malach that does awesome work of God called Michael, who is like God? Is there really a malach named Raphael? Or is that any malach that's sent to heal somebody called Raphael? God heals you. Do you hear the kasha? It's a question that I asked to a Rebbe years ago, and it was a really, really big kasha. What? But it's a shiloh. It's a shiloh in of itself. What are you going to say? What?
Gavriel.
Same thing. Gavar El. Yeah. Right? The Gibor of El itself. Right? Uri El, the Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each Malach, is that representative of what he does? Or is that an actual name? And they're all like that. Each one of them is like that's that in
amazing.
That way. Yeah, it really is. It's a big shiloh in and of itself.
You came up with that?
No, the Shaila is already asked, but I have Raya's both ways. I have a shir on it. About a year ago in my Chumash shir, I gave a shir on it, on whether or not Malachim actually have names. It was Parshas Naso, I think, 2 years ago that I gave a shir on it. Vayikach Manoach is Gedi Yizim. Manoach took the Gedi Yizim, the Gov Desa Mincha, as well as a gift, right? A meal offering. Vayalot Tzur LaHashem, and he brought it up on a rock to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umafli Lasos. Awesome things happened, right? Manoach v'Yisroel, Manoach and his wife were watching. When the flame came up from the mizbeach, Hashemayim went up to the heavens. The malach stepped into the fire and flew up to the heavens, which has got to be cool. Manoach v'Yisroel, Manoach and his wife were seeing that, and they fell to their face on the ground. The malach of Hashem did not appear anymore to Manoach and his wife. They couldn't see him. That's when they knew that it was a Malach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, wait a second. It's possible that there's really a Malach. Most of the most were going to die. We just saw gods. You know, not lowercase g God. If God wanted to kill us, would Hashem make us bring a korban and then accept the korban? Hashem has never shown anybody anything like this. We've never heard anything like this. She's a smart woman. She's like, Hashem just told us we're going to have a baby. You think he's going to kill us? Right? No, it's not going to happen. You're fine. Don't worry about it. And that was exactly what ended up happening over here. And that's that. As a side note, by the way, this line, if God wanted us to die, he would not have accepted an olam mincha from us. I learned from here, there's a raya that olam haba exists from Kayin and Hevel. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not have such a thing as Olam Haba, then why did he accept the Korban of Hevel? For what? What was Korban, Hevel's Korban accepted for? He died right afterward. It must be, it was accepted for Olam Haba, for something in Olam Haba. From this line over here, I think I understand that really well. I think that's the idea behind it. Okay, there was the fire. The question is how the fire came out. Did the fire come from up down, from up above and it came down to consume what was on the rock? Did the fire come up from the rock itself? Did the Malach put his hand on the fire and shoot it, and all of a sudden fiery flames came out of his finger? No one knows, right? Somehow there was a fire over here and something happened, but it's a Gemara in Zvachim Kuf Chasim Abeis, what exactly happened over here. Okay, that's that. Batela de Isha Bein. The woman gave birth to a child, Shmo Shimshon. She called his name Shimshon. Why do you think his name was Shimshon? Think of two words that are connected with the word Shimshon.
Shemesh.
Shemesh is number one. That he's going to be as bright and as great as the sun. Radiant, handsome, he's going to be as awesome as the sun itself. Number two, what's your second answer? What's another reason why you're named Shimshon? No. It's Shamish. He's going to be a servant of God. The pure servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's going to do everything over there. Vav Nun is always used to be able to say even greater, something like that, but he's going to be a son, a shield. He's going to be everything like that. By the way, notice also, she called his name Shimshon. I think Manoach accepted the fact that his wife was greater than he was. Usually it's the husband. And I know nowadays women name the first child, but Manoach should have named the child. It didn't happen over here. She named it because I think he understood it at that point. The child grew up, and Hashem blessed him with a lot of strength, a lot of wisdom. He became a very, very great man very quickly. He was a Navi for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Navi for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tocho Ruach Hashem lefamo b'mach nedon. The Spirit of God came ringing within him in Mach nedon ben Tzor ben Eshtol, between Tzor and Eshtol. And quite often, he would get this feeling, and he got out there. Now, the Rambam says, this is a very low level of Nevuah. There are 10 levels of Nevuah. Shimshon was able to reach level 2, which is a low level of Nevuah. We're talking Ruach HaKodesh. Even people nowadays could get to that level of regular Ruach HaKodesh. That's what Shimshon got. But nonetheless, he was able to do things and have things and everything like that. But the pshat is, Shimshon was different from everybody else. All of a sudden, it would be like a bell ringing, which is why it says lefa'amo, as in pa'amon, v'rimon. Pa'amon is a bell. Like all of a sudden, something would be ringing, and he'd be like, I have to go do something. Or he would act, he would have these feats of might, feats of strength that no one understood where it came from, and all of a sudden it would be somewhere like that. Some say Tzora and Eshta'ol, is that Shimshon was able to take the mountains of Tzor and Eshtol, crush them against each other, and turn them into dirt. They say that that's a reference to the Torah that he learned and the amount of Drushim that he came out with, that he was extremely great when he did everything like that. Some say there was a noise heard when the Ruach HaKodesh happened. His hair, which was all big and strong and huge and whatever it was, became strong as iron, knocked against each other, and you could hear it from far away. When he got that Ruach HaKodesh that was like that. Others say, I'm sorry?
Nothing.
antenna.
And then the third thing is that a Ruach HaKodesh led him wherever he was, and there was like a ringing bell. He started in Dun, but he led all of Klal Yisrael. Everybody knew him. Shimshon was grown up, and everybody saw him as this awesome judge who had Ruach HaKodesh leading the people, strong as an ox, doing anything he wanted to do, and everybody's like, this guy is the most awesome guy in the world. And then he turns 20. Says, Vayirid Shimshon Timnasa. Shimshon went down to a city called Timna. Now, it's by the area of the Plishtim, but he went to a city called Timna. Vayar Ish B'Timnasa, and he saw a woman in Timna.
Timnos
Plishtim. Not so far here. Look, right over there. Right over here. Camp of Dun, right over there. You're thinking of Dun secondary, when they beat Laish. That was different. That's later on. Here, they're still down below. Okay, they went there. It says, Vayar Ish B'Timnasa Mimnos Plishtim. He saw a woman in Timna from the daughters of the Plishtim. Vayal V'Yagad Avilim. We went to his father and his mother. Vayomer Isha Reisi B'Timnasa. I saw a woman. They're like, oh, you're ready to get married. She was in Timna. They're like, there are Jews in Timna? He said, Mibnos Plishtim. She's the daughter of the Plishtim. That's how you got to break it to your parents that you're marrying a shiksa. That's the way to do it, you know? Like, slowly but surely, right? I went to a club, right? There were a lot of girls there. I fell in love with a girl. She happens to be not Jewish. That's the way to do it. And that's how he did it. Yes, what's up,
Shuki? When it says it saw a girl in the Torah, doesn't that mean he already had relations with her?
No. It does not mean it in that way, especially not here. Shimshon, we're going to see in a second, was doing this for a reason. She said, he said, now take her for me as a woman, as a wife. That's what I want over here. Now, there are two places that are called Timna, okay? Because over here it says, Vayered Shimshon Timna. So he went down to Timna. When Yehuda went to Timna, right, in order to shear his sheep, it said he went up to Timna. So either there are two places called Timna. One goes down, one goes up. Or there's two ways to get to Timna. One way is to go down to it, while the other way you have to go up to it. Like Timna's here, and there's one way to go down, one way to go up. There could be two different ways of going around there. But there's a simple shot over here. Yehuda marrying Tamar ended up being that he married Tamar and Timna and had the whole situation there, ended up bringing about Mashiach. Shimshon, when he met this woman, was the beginning of the downfall of Shimshon himself. This is the beginning of his loss. So Yehuda went up by going to Timna. Shimshon went down by going to Timna. And that's the line that was over here. It was completely different when it came down over here. This is going to be, he was overcome by his desires for the very first time. Now, what happened? What was wrong over here? The line is, Vayar Isha B'Timnasa. He saw the woman in Timna. Listen, he knew that he had Ruach HaKodesh, he had to marry a Plishti woman. That was not a question. That was exactly what the Malach said to his mother. It was going to happen. He was going to have to mix in with the Plishti woman and fight on his own. And that wasn't Akasha whatsoever. Don't find the girl who looks good. Don't find the beautiful girl. You want to marry a girl? Marry whoever it is that you think is going to be the best person. It doesn't matter what she looks like. But he found a beautiful girl. I'm sorry?
Sound like a shotgun now.
I try. But that's the idea behind it. And that's why this was so bad over here. Now, there is a machlokas. The Rambam is famous for saying every woman that Shimshon was ever with, he converted to Judaism. Delilah, that Zona that he was with in the city later on, and this woman as well. There's no question he converted her. She was a Gioris, and she converted. She accepted all the mitzvahs of Judaism. Yeah,
it's a treif conversion.
No. Although you're right, normally you can't do it without a Beis Din. Remember who Shimshon was.
If a woman is converting to Judaism and she's for together marriage. With a man, it's...
Again, remember who he was. Okay. He's a judge in Klal Yisrael who's the leader of the Jews. So although normally you'd be 100% correct, a random woman can't do it. But if Shimshon is doing it, he's the dayan, the head dayan, he's the shofet. He can decide whether this woman is roi or not. He decided this woman was roi, and he wouldn't have chosen her if there wasn't a good quality behind her. There was a great quality behind her, and there was something there. That's the Rambam. However, Rashi says they did not convert. This was a sin on Shimshon's part, and it was a problem, and that's the reason. He did it on purpose, says Rashi, because their loyalties would still be to the Plishti people, and he would therefore be permitted to violate this sin in order to knock down the Plishtim because of it. So he did it on purpose. He purposely was together with this woman to make sure it happened over here. Again, we have to think of this, though, as pure Ruach HaKodesh. Shimshon was a tzaddik gomer. This is the way I think of it. Think of the biggest Rosh Hashiva you've ever heard of in the world. All of a sudden saying, all right, I'm going to go marry this woman who's not Jewish. You can't believe it's happening. That's exactly what his parents had.
Rosh Hashivas have Yetzer Haras.
This is not a Yetzer Hara. That's the point. This was pure Ruach HaKodesh. And his father and mother, Vayomer lo Avimo, and Pasuk Gimel, his father and his mother said to him, Ma'ein b'bnos hachacha v'chol ami isha. If you don't, is there no, like, Benos Achacha, like a daughter of your brothers, first of all, they may have had other children after them. Remember, they were barren up until this point. But is there no other niece that you have around here? No cousin? No person? And all the people, there's no woman ki atahol lakachas ishim and plishtam arelim? You're taking a woman from the plishtam arelim? A side note, who says Shimshon wasn't already married? Maybe Shimshon was already married.
Probably was.
Maybe he's married. Maybe he already has kids. I mean, Mistama, he had the mitzvah pru revu.
But does it matter?
So maybe, halachically, a man is allowed to be with more than one woman. But the whole point was he was looking and saying, she was looking at him and saying, right, is there no one else you want to marry? Like, I understand you got to marry a woman. You got to marry this woman? She's good in my eyes. Once again, Yashra be'enai. I saw her. She's beautiful. I want her as my wife. That is a problem. For that, unfortunately, Shimshon is going to lose his eyes. He's going to go blind from it. His father and his mother never knew that it was from God. He was looking for an excuse, a pretext to fight the Pelishtim. Because at that time, the Pelishtim were ruling over Bnei Yisrael itself. So that was a problem. It's really, really crazy. Absolutely crazy that he was able to do it and that he was willing to say something like this. So it says, it's just strange. Can you imagine Shimshon just saying this to his parents, and his parents have no idea whatsoever? So what was wrong? At the end of the day, did Shimshon do what his nevuah was telling him to do? Yes. He had Ruach HaKodesh, and he did what he was supposed to do. So maybe he looked at the woman incorrectly. Okay, maybe he looked at the woman, and he found a beautiful woman. But he was told to marry a Pelishi woman. What was the problem with what he's doing? Why was this the Yerida of Shimshon?
This is still an Avera.
Not if he converted her. Because he took a nice-looking woman? Did the Ruach HaKodesh say...
Protocol.
What's the protocol? That's the problem. There is no protocol for this. Well, there is no protocol for marrying a non-Jewish woman.
You have to marry... If you think a girl looks disgusting, you should have married her.
Okay, so even more so. So it was a better thing for him to do. He should have looked at her. Why was there something wrong here? Why in the world was he punished? So Samson's Struggle. If anybody knows that book, Samson's Struggle, which is... It was made a little bit firmer. It now is Shimshon's Struggle. Okay.
Shimshon's
Struggle. So it's right out there. He says the problem was he should have consulted a Navi or Beis Din before doing so.
Why?
He may have had Ruach HaKodesh, and he did have that. Nonetheless, he should have said something. Rav Aaron Cutler says for something like this, you can't make your own decision. You cannot be on your own. You cannot make the decision on your own and say, here's what I'm going to do.
He still has a Yetzer.
He was. But nonetheless, you have to go to somebody else and say, here was my Nevuah, what should I do? And he didn't do it. He said it on his own.
Where do we see an example of that? When that's supposed to work? Because I don't remember anything like that happened.
Getting a Nevuah discussing it with somebody else before you actually do it, you're right, because Avramino at the Akedah went ahead and did everything without anything else. You know what? I have to look up Rav Aaron. I didn't look up the Mishnas Rav Aaron. I'd have to look up the Mishnas Rav Aaron and see what he says. See exactly what he says.
That never happens.
Yeah, I'm quoting it from Rav Aaron, from Samson's Struggles.
That rarely happens.
Well, let's see. We'd have to find a Navi that it happens to, right? Where he got a Nevuah and he had to talk to somebody else about it to see whether it's going to be or not.
Every Shana Al Shishiva, every guy says, I love her, you know, we're going to be Jewish and get married, and it's just like,
it's going to make a Jewish problem, it's even more so. Okay, no, but that's not a Navi, this is Shimshon. You know what I'm saying? That's the difference.
That's a big knock.
Like somebody going to the Urban Tomb. Who was on
that? Yeah, level. That might be it. David HaMelech. David HaMelech having the ability to go to Nebuah and still had to go to the Urim Tum for everything. That might be a go. Shalom HaMelech as well. That is that. Okay, either way, we got this over here. So they went down to Timnah. They came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, by this point, the father and the mother were no longer in chinuch mode. Right? So they're done being Nazirim.
Yeah, they're drinking wine.
The father and mother are able to go through. So they were going down the vineyards. The mother and the father went straight through the vineyard, but Shimshon couldn't go through the vineyard. Right? You can't go into a vineyard, right? Like karma lo sikrav, we say in the Gemara. You can't go near the vineyard itself. So they went around. Right? The father and mother went through. Shimshon went around. And when he went around, he saw a young lion, shoig lekrasa, roaring to greet him. Batitza. I love Ruach Hashem, he had a spirit of God upon him. And he tore him apart like one tears apart a goat. As a side note, I've never torn apart a goat before. I don't know if I could go up to a goat and tear it apart, literally. But apparently, that was something that's very obvious, right?
Joseph's brothers.
Well, I mean, they cut the goat skin off. They didn't tear apart a goat.
Didn't say they tear it.
This is that, like, I don't know what this is. You don't tear apart goats. It just doesn't happen. This is one of the strangest things in the world. Ma'uma im biado. He had nothing in his hands. He had nothing in his hand. No knife, no anything. And he didn't even tell his father and his mother what happened. He knew that this is a sign, but he wasn't sure exactly what the sign was. He did not say one thing about it whatsoever. Now, again, why did it a Kaddish Baruch Hu make it that he had to go through a vineyard and then meet a lion as he's on his way down? Hashem was giving him a warning. There are spiritual dangers that are involved in going into the police room. You're going into it. You have to know what you're getting into. You have a lion that's crouching in your lap. You have a lion, the Yetzirah, that's going to destroy you over here. You have to be so careful about what's going to be here. She might seem harmless, but this relationship could only lead to a bad end. It's going to be a very, very bad ending over here. That's what's going to happen over here. You have to know what these people are. But he cannot be dissuaded. He immediately took the lion and tore it apart. He said, I will tear apart my Yetzirah. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I'm not doing this Yetzirah. I'm doing it because it's the right thing over here, right? And that's going to be over here. Also, it should be a sign of confidence for Shimshon. He beat the lion without the lion scratching him. So he knew he had the strength to be able to do this. And if some ask, well, are there really lions in Eretz Yisrael? Yes. There were Asian lions up until the early 20th century. In Eretz Yisrael, even Yerushalayim. The Asiatic lion is a smaller lion, smaller mane, much smaller bodies. They're kind of like leopards without the spots. But otherwise, they look like the regular thing. They just don't have the huge manes that you see by African lions. They existed in Eretz Yisrael up until the 1910s. They were gone, not like a mountain lion. A mountain lion is a completely different type of creature, which is weird. It's almost like it's the only type of animal that can't, the only type of big cat that can't roar. And also, mountain lions have these tiny, tiny little heads and huge bodies. They're like the head doesn't fit the rest of its body. These lions still look big. They just don't have the huge mane that the African lions have.
It's got more like a beard than it does.
You see it?
It has like a beard and not like a mane.
It's okay. You can see here.
Maybe the...
Here, you see it right there. The Asiatic lion right there.
Oh, it looks like a lion,
it's a little bit skinnier. You see it?
It's got a beard instead of a
mane. Right there.
Yeah. Tearing of the lion.
It's a little bit different.
An omen for the bad things because his mother was from Yehuda.
He's tearing apart Yehuda? That's not a bad call, right? He's doing something against Yehuda. That's a really good call.
Then totally doesn't fit into anything you said, though.
Well, I mean, if the lion would fit him, right? The lion maybe was a sign that you should go with Yehuda. Maybe that was it. I don't know. That's an interesting call over here. Okay, we have a bunch over here, so it's going to be that as well. Also, this is the other thing. The threat of the lion when nobody else was around was to show Shimshon, do not involve Bnei Yisrael. Don't involve them. You're on your own. Just like you're going to have to defeat this lion on your own without anything else, you're going
to
go against the police on your own without anything else.
What is he supposed to do here? What's his mission?
What, by the woman?
Yeah.
Find a pretext to be able to destroy all the police. That's it. That's all he had to do.
Right.
He's got to get it in.
He's got to get in. He's got to do something.
Destroy
them with who? With himself. Yeah. He's going to have to start killing them. He wants to get in and start killing as many police as possible. That was what he was told by the Malach. The Malach says to find a pretext against the Pleshim and destroy them on his own because Bnei Yisrael don't deserve to be able to win a war if they fight against them. That's how you got to come on time. Pazuk Zayin, look what it says. By Yerid, by Dabrali Yishav, you have to. By Yerid, by Dabrali Yishav, Atishav, by Enei Shimshon. He went down and spoke to the woman. Do you see how he got better here? He didn't look at the woman. He did not look at the woman. He went down to speak to the woman. She was good in his eyes. She said, she can help me in this fight over here. He understood this is a good woman who does good things for a non-Jew. This is somebody who I can work with. After a year, he came back to marry her. But Yosef Liros is my palace. He went down to go see this, the what's it called? The corpse of the lion. No, what is it? Corpse? The carcass of the lion. There was a beehive in the stomach of the lion as well as honey. Now, that didn't make any sense at all. Why is that? Well, let's go with our remez. Let's go with the remez over here. The remez is that out of that bitterness that the lion represents, out of the horribleness, sweetness can come. You can get the greatest thing in the world. If you do this correctly, Shimshon, you'll have saved Bnei Yisrael. You have to do this in the right way to save Bnei Yisrael. But if you do it properly, everything's going to be good. And that was the sign that he was given. And he went down, he scraped out with his hands. He took the honey with his hands. And he went eating the devash, eating the honey as he went. Went to his father and his mother. And he gave to them. And they ate. But he never said that he got it out of the lion itself. He never told them anything about it. There was no one else who could have known right over here. But there's another sign.
Tummy?
I'm sorry? No, there's no problem with the honey.
But a dead animal?
Don't eat the dead lion. He didn't. It was all bones and whatever.
It doesn't apply to
nothing. I mean, you do have nevela, right? But this is a full beehive inside the lion. You can touch something that's inside the beehive. That's fine. There was an interesting thing as well. What do bees do?
Sting people?
Sting you. That even when you have that sweetness, there's still a sting. There's still something there that's going to happen. You got to be very, very careful with what's going to happen over here. That's the idea behind it. That's the problem. So her, his father went down to the woman, to the woman's family. Notice, by the way, his mom didn't come. So I was like, I'm not coming.
She didn't approve.
Yeah. Vayasham Shimshon Mishta. Shimshon made the meal there. That's interesting. It used to be the guy paid for the wedding meal. Isn't that interesting? The guy paid for the wedding meal. Kiken Yasu Abachurim, that's what the young men did. Vayikarosim also. When they saw him, Vayiku Shloshim Mereim, Vayuito. So the father took 30 of his friends, and gave them over to him and said, oh, you don't have any friends with you? Shimshon said, no, I don't have friends. Right? Because obviously he didn't want to involve Klal Yisrael. He said, I'm not friends with any of the Jews. Also, I don't like any of the Jews. The Jews don't like me. Now, of course, he showers. So he said, Vayuito. And those men, everybody smelled that time. Vayuito. And all the people were with him, right? And those 30 friends were with him. So he had 30 plishim. Now, all of a sudden, he's got an idea. He's got it. I'm going to give you a riddle. You can tell it to me over the 7 days in the Mishnah. If you find it, then I'll give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of clothing. Right? That's what if you can't. Then you'll give me 30 sheets and 30 pairs of clothing. That'll be my dowry. Right? That's what I'm going to get over here. Alright, let's hear the riddle. Tell us the riddle. Tell us the riddle. Riddle me. Right? Tell us what it is. From the one that eats, comes food. From the strong comes out something sweet. For 3 days, they weren't able to tell the riddle. They had no idea what the riddle was. Now, when do people normally get married back then? What day of the week? It's from Ksuvis.
Oh, yeah, Tuesday night, Wednesday,
right? So 3 days they couldn't. That was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Over Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they couldn't tell the riddle. They had no idea. Now, this is a weird riddle. It's like Bilbo Baggins saying, what's in my pocket, right? In which he's trying to say, I read the book. I don't know about the movie. I'm sure it's in the movie as well, right? But what's in my pocket? That's not a riddle. It's a guessing game. That's all it is. He's like, what kind of a riddle is this? So simply put, he's trying to get that the honey was out of the lion itself, right? That's what he's trying to do. But this is not a real riddle. It is a riddle. The whole point was, from something bad, from something strong, comes something sweet. He said, my mission in life is like this. He was trying to get the Plishim to say that from something bad, there still can be something good that comes out of it. That at the end of the day, anything bad that happens, you can have good things that come from it. Right? That's the idea behind it. How we say, Gamzu Latova? That's what he was trying to get at. That was the riddle. The riddle was Gamzu Latova. But they didn't get it. They thought it was just like, oh, you're trying a guessing game? So they tried going through and tried to figure it out what it was, right? And that's the idea behind it. So it was a weird riddle, and there was it was a great risk that they were doing over here, but it was 30-1 odds. That really is what it is, right? It's 30-1 odds. If they had to give up something, they had to give up one thing. But if they won, they won 30 things, because you had to give up 30. So 30-1 odds they were willing to take over here. That's the idea behind it. So Pasuk Tetzav, Yibayom HaShvi, on the seventh day. Not the seventh day of the Sheva Brachos. On the seventh day. What is the seventh day?
Shabbos.
The fourth day, which is Shabbos. You get it? Vayomeli Eish Hashem, so they said to the wife of Hashem, Patis Yishech, now, seduce your husband, V'yagilenu Zachida, tell us the riddle. Penis Vavosav Ves Beis Avich, we might burn you and your father's house, but Eish in a fire, Haleir Shenu Karasam V'lanu Halalo. Did you invite us here so that we could just become poor? What do you do over here? So they threatened Shimshon's wife, and told Shimshon's wife, you better find out what the solution of this riddle is, or else we're going to take something away. From the eater comes the food, from the strong comes the sweet. Right? That's where it came from. Vatev Keshes Shimshon Alav. The wife of Shimshon cried to him. Vatomer Raksine Sani, you hate me, Vlav Tani. You don't love me. Right? Well, what's going on over here? You told this riddle over to my people. Lilo, he got it, and he didn't tell me? Listen to his answer. You hear what he answers?
Doesn't sound like seducing to me.
And he says to her, I didn't tell my mom and dad. You think I'm going to tell you? See the relationship he had with this woman? Although, on the one way, he said, like, oh, I love this woman. This woman is the perfect one for me. He did not consider this to be a woman.
For 3 days.
Nonetheless, he is not connected to this woman whatsoever. He's, like, looking at that, and he's saying, like, why would I tell you? Who are you? right? You're just the person that's my pretext. He didn't say that, obviously. Pasuk Yitzayin, the Tivkal of Shivas Yamin. For all the 7 days, the rest of the 7 days, she cried, Asher Hayolam HaMishtev, Ayi Bayom HaShvi, and the seventh day, this is the seventh day, the actual seventh day, Vayagid Lo. He told her, Ki Yetzikastu, Hetzikasu, because she oppressed him, Vatagir Echidel of Ne'amah, and she told over the riddle of the people. That was right in there. What does it mean she oppressed him? Chazal say, she wouldn't allow him to be together with her. That while they were being together, she oppressed him, and she started, and then went away and said, you can't be together with me, right? And because of that, he was in so much pain, he said, I can't deal with this anymore. Once that happened, the biggest fault that Shimshon had, the Gemara says, is that he had a tremendous taiva, and that taiva could not be stopped. And because of that, she got him on this, and that was a problem. That was exactly what happened over here. You can imagine what it would be like if he wasn't a Nazir. Right, and he had this tremendous dive over here. Okay, so that's that. It took altogether maybe 7 days. Who knows how long it took altogether? By Yom Lo'anshi Yair, by Yom HaShvi. So 3 days, right? 3 days after Shabbos, which would have been the end of the Sheva Brachos, which went to the B'terem Yavo Acharso, before the sun set, Mama Tok Midvash, what's sweeter than honey? Uma'oz Me'ari, what's stronger than a lion? So why'd they wait all until then? They wanted to embarrass Shimshon. They wanted him to think that he had won. So at the very end, he's like, so guys, I guess that's it, right? I win the... And they're like, yeah, honey and a lion. That's what they told him. Now, here's the problem. They didn't answer the riddle. They got part of it because he said two things. He said, from the eater comes the food. From the strong comes the sweet. But there are two parts to this riddle. They only answered one part of it. They didn't answer the other part. So that's one thing. Number two, they didn't get the riddle. They got the guessing game. What it was from the lion, but they didn't get the actual riddle. The actual riddle was Gamzu L'Tova. That's what it meant, right? And they didn't get that part. Shimshon didn't care. He pretended like they got it and immediately went up to them and he's like, oh man, you got it. I can't believe it. Right at that point, he said he was really upset. So he said, and he said to them, had you not plowed my calf, you wouldn't have gotten the answer to that riddle. Meaning? You got it because of the evil that went through there. What time? Hold on. Very quickly. Hold. Oh, it's 9:13. Okay, 9:13. So we got a little bit of here. Vatitzalav Ruach Hashem.
Edwards, Eddie's on the line?
Yeah, of course. Vatitzalav Ruach Hashem, spirit of a Kodesh Baruch Hu came upon him, a year at Ashkelon. And he went down to Ashkelon, right? He went to Ashkelon, which is another Plishti city. Yachmeim Shloshim Ish, he killed 30 men. Vayikach his chalitzos, he took their shirts. Vayitana chalipos lamagidi achidah, and he gave the shirts to the people told of the riddle. Hey, guys. You only got half the riddle. So I only gave you half the reward. He's supposed to do 30 shirts and 30 sheets. But he only gave 30 shirts because you only got half the riddle.
Why didn't he say the riddle?
We already said. Because he said he wanted to find a pretext to get against them. He had come up with a plan. That was the plan. Right? To be able to kill more people. Vayikharapo. And then he got angry. And he went back to his father's house. Now he had an even better plan. Because later he's going to come back. He knows that his wife is going to be remarried to somebody else. And that's what happened. Ateishah Shimshon Mareyu. Asherayelo. One of his friends of those 30 guys ended up marrying his wife. But she was still a married woman. And again, says the Kliyakar, uses a pretext to go right back. Right when they're through there. The Malbim says she was still legally married to him. But the father said, listen, if we can't have a wedding with him, then we'll go somewhere else over here. That's the shot behind it. So it was crazy. Shimshon now came up with another excuse. He's already killed 30 Plishtim. He started with the Plishim. He has a reason to come back. Shimshon is ready to go right back at the Plishim and kill even more people and cause more damage. This is what he's going to do. Little by little by little by little, he's getting into the Plishim and destroying them. And no one thinks he has anything to do with the Jews. Because again, he's a lone warrior. He's working on his own. What's that?
He's crazy.
Well, no, not crazy. He's Ruach Hashem. No, right? The Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for him.
He is willing to do
whatever he needs to do in order to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do, which is exactly what you should do.
So
all right, guys, we'll stop with that.